chess. With whom? With the Russians.
Checkmate, a sequence of programmes dedicated to chess, starts weeknights at 11 from Monday.
And tomorrow night's Night Waves takes that theme. Philip Dodd will be exploring the eternal use of chess as a measure of human intelligence. With computer chess programmes now regularly beating world champions, he questions whether this belief is starting to be questioned. And his guests include an Oxford philosopher who believes that the human mind is still stronger than any computer programme. That's Monday night's Night Waves at 9:15. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and online. The time now is 20 to 12. It's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. Today, sensational Scottish a cappella jazz outfit and an American superstar jazz singer. Jazz Lineup this week brings you Brass Jaw in Concert and Kevin Legendre meets soulful jazz diva Cassandra Wilson to talk about her current successful release, Silver Pony. We start with two new CDs, drummer Eric Harland's work with everyone from Herbie Hancock, Joshua Redman, and most recently in the excellent Charles Lloyd Quartet. And thanks to the Paris-based label Space Time, he has his own album out called Voyager Live by Night. Yes, it's a live album with Walter Smith on tenor, Julian Lage is on guitar, Taylor Eichstees on piano, and Harish Raghavan is on bass. As expected, this is a high-energy group of performers giving their all. This is Treachery.
Thank you.
The Eric Harland Quintet, recorded live in Paris, and Treachery, featuring Walter Smith on tenor, Julian Lages on guitar, Taylor Eigsti piano, and Harish Raghavan is on bass. And the leader is Eric Harland on the drums. That's out now on the Space Time label called Voyager Live by Night. Coming up in around 10 minutes, that interview with Cassandra Wilson. But for the moment, let's stay with new releases. That might be an inspiration for a Christmas present. Originally from the 2002 album Dialects, Vince Mendoza has arranged Zaunel's epic and moving composition piece. It's performed here by ex-Weather Report members Victor Bailey and Peter Erskine and Amsterdam's versatile Metropole Orchestra. This is Peace.
Thank you.
Wasn't that beautiful? Played in tribute to keyboard maestro and composer Joe Zawinul. That was the new recording from arranger Vince Mendoza with the Metropole Orchestra and Peace. Members of the Syndicate and Weather Report take rhythm section duties in the form of Victor Bailey on bass and Pete Erskine on drums, with Jim Beard stepping into the spirit of the great man on keyboards. The album is called Fast City, a tribute to Joe Zawinul, and is out now on the BHM label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. Today we meet superstar jazz singer Cassandra Wilson about her new release Silver Pony. Before we hear that conversation with our own intrepid reporter Kevin Legendre, let's hear a short extract from one of the tracks. This is Sunrise.
Let my kisses fall where they belong. It's getting cold out, let's go home now. We can light a fire that never goes out. We'll explode then afterglow until another day begins. With the sunrise reflected in your eyes.
That was Sunrise, taken from Cassandra's current CD, Silver Pony. I interviewed her recently, and I asked Cassandra Wilson about the fact that the CD is a mixture of live and studio tracks, which is quite unusual. So where did that idea come from?
It just happened after listening to some recordings of the last tour that we did in Europe. I realized that there was so much of the material that needed to be shared with the audience. And we didn't really have enough material to do an entirely live recording, so I thought it'd be a great idea to combine the two, see if we could take the guys back to some of the spaces that they were in the live recording and watch what happened, almost create an alternate reality, in a sense.
Is there any added pressure when you know you're being recorded?
I think there is, and which is why I still love to roll tape. I'm one of those people who likes to catch the musicians when they're in their innocence, when they don't know, you know, that the tape is rolling. So that means you have to take up a lot of tape. And I still do use tape. I still use analog tape.
But this is a really interesting band because you have some new members, people that you haven't been working with that long, as well as members who you've worked with a lot over the years. So Marvin Sewell being the obvious continuity between some of your previous recordings and this new recording. Mm-hmm. Lekan Babalola on percussion, this amazing London-based Nigerian mm-hmm. percussionist. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to have a band that is relatively new at this point in time? Are you still getting to know each other?
Yeah, you begin to get an idea of the personalities, you know, the chemistry. It's going to happen whenever you change, you refresh the band membership. It's really wonderful to watch. Jonathan Batiste is, because he comes from New Orleans, has a shared history with two of the members of the band, Reginald Veal.
The bass player?
Yes, the bassist, and Herlin Riley.
The drummer?
The drummer, yes. So because they all come from New Orleans, there's, you know, they have a collective memory bank, you know, of music that they can draw upon, and they are able to really communicate well with one another. So they're kind of like a section within the band. And then you have Lekan Babalola, who's coming, you know, as you say, from London, Nigeria, by way of London. He brought just a totally different flavor to the proceedings, I think, you know, because he is actually a Babalao. And so there's this underpinning, there's this undercurrent of his knowledge of percussion and patterns and drums. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see those two strains, you know, from arguably the same part of West Africa, but going through different means, coming back together again.
Because that's probably one of the most exciting things about the music. It's very, very steeped in blues and it's very American, yet at the same time it's very African as well. There seems to be this kind of, for want of a better term, a diasporan sound which is developing.
Yes, that's true. I think It's great to hear, especially the interplay between Herlin Riley and Lacon Babalola, because New Orleans probably represents the closest we can get to Africa if we want to search the music in the United States and we want to see the closest link to, you know, what we had. Herlin Riley's that person. He's that drummer. So to watch them, and they fit together so well. They were like hand in glove almost immediately, which blew us all away, you know, that they would be able to lock into each other so well.
How do you go about choosing songs these days?
These days, I just let things happen. I'm still the same way, Kevin, that I've always been. I'm always paying attention to what's going on around me. If a song comes and it doesn't go away, then I know that that's a song that I need to pay attention to.
Do you remember the first time you heard the Charlie Patton song that you play on the record, Saddle My Pony?
Yes, we renamed it Saddle Up My Pony, but the original name is Pony Blues. And I think the first time I heard it was when I looked it up. It's amazing that Charlie Patton, who is really the father of the Delta Blues, is not covered that much. We don't really have a lot of material, or we don't have a lot of musicians who cover his material. So I actually had to go in search of him. And the reason I went on search of him was because of lyrics that I heard in this song, Hesitation Blues, that was done by Louis Armstrong. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be reading a book by Ted Chioa called Delta Blues. And I saw that lyric, and I said, this is curious. So I looked it up, and I started listening to the song, and I said, man, this would be great to, you know, to cover.
So when you're actually investigating or covering a very old blues song like that, what is the most important thing? Is it that you completely absorb the meaning of the lyric, or that you find something new in terms of the arrangement? How does it work for you?
Well, Marvin Sewell is instrumental in this one. He's the one who pulls that figure out of the song and then recasts it. The figure was really compelling, I think, that just that ding, 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 ding. You know, that's like I'm sure everybody's got that lick,
yeah.
But it's...
Because to me, it sounded like the beginning of Herbie Hancock's Blow Up. Slowed down.
There you have it. There you
Did you say everybody's got that lick?
Everybody's got that lick.
Thank you.
Saddle up my pony, baby. Saddle up my black mare. Saddle up my pony, baby. Saddle up my black mare. When you saddle up pony, saddle up my black mare. Well, I'm gonna find me a rider. Say, I'm gonna find me a rider out in the world somewhere. Hey. Hello, Central, tell me, what's the matter with your life? Tell me, what's the matter with your line? And a hello, Sandra, what's the matter with your line? Came a storm last night, yeah. Came a storm last night, and it blew all the wires down. Already trained. I got a brand new Shetland pony that's already trained. I got a brand new Shetland already trained. I just jump in the saddle, boy. Jump in the saddle and I tighten up on the reins.
That was Saddle Up My Pony by Cassandra Wilson, a tune adapted from the old classic blues by Charlie Patton, Pony Blues. I'm talking to Cassandra Wilson, and I carried on by asking her about the sound of the guitar played by Marvin Sewell. Had she been influenced by the different timbres of the guitar?
You're absolutely right. There is something that I take from listening to guitar, and it comes out in my voice, in the way I'm able to express myself. And there definitely is a resonance, too, as well. There's something about the strings. I don't know whether it's because I grew up in Mississippi, and that's the instrument that's most prevalent. I mean, that's the instrument that almost everyone has. People can't go out and buy pianos, you know, but they can get a guitar. And the guitar is really our instrument in Mississippi.
How much of the stuff that happens on stage really is completely spontaneous? I mean, obviously, as a band, as a working band as well, you have prepared material. Mm-hmm. But at what point do you feel that, okay, now you're jumping off into some new territory?
It happens any time, at any point, which is why it's always good to get new blood in. Mm. You know, I find that Jonathan Batiste leads the way a lot of the time when we are playing. Reginald Veal will too. It can happen at a moment's notice inside of a song. Someone might just allude to something harmonically. And because we communicate so well, everybody jumps on that bus like, Okay, I heard you say that. What'll happen if we go with you there? What happens if we do this behind you while you're doing that? And then that almost opens you open into another world. And you stay there for a while sometimes if you like it. And if you get tired of it, you just kind of come back. Yeah.
It's interesting as well because when you emerged in, say, the early 80s, even though you'd been recording with the likes of Henry Threadgill, I think, in the late 70s, or certainly working with him, you emerged as part of the quote-unquote M-Base conglomerate with Steve Coleman and Jerry Allen, and there was definitely a nucleus of musicians, and you all seemed to appear on each other's albums, and there was a lot of collaboration, and over the years that ebbed away a little bit. I think Lonnie Plaxico was still a link to that period. Mm-hmm. Do you still have any contact at all with that group of musicians?
Absolutely. We stay in close contact. I stay in close contact with Steve Coleman. And I occasionally see Greg Osby, Jerry Allen, not so much. And that second generation of musicians, people like Jason Moran, who, I'm pretty sure he got his beginning in M-Base. I stay in constant contact with him. So we all, check in on each other every once in a while. And hopefully, I'm hoping that we get together again someday and just, have a great big old concert and bring back some of those old tunes and play them.
How important was that period in your career?
Well, it was a turning point. I'd say it was pivotal because if so much happened in such a short period of time. You're talking about a period of 3 or 4 years. It was very intense. There was so much that I learned about music, and it just kind of changed the way that I looked at music. So it was a very important part of my development as an artist.
Let's change the subject completely now. If we go to another piece on the album, which I really like, and that's a Stevie Wonder cover, If It's Magic. Why did you choose that song?
Once again, things happen. That was Reginald Veal's idea. And I love the way it's in the center of the album. It's almost as if it's the heart. Because you've got, the other pieces, 5 pieces on one side and 5 pieces on the other. And then right in the center is Magic. And this is true improvisation. This is when the band just forms these tendrils and this filigree just... They weave around the center, but we don't know what the center is. But we move with it, and the song is sung over it, and it's very ethereal, and it's very... I love listening to it. It really does something for me. If it's magic, then why can't it be everlasting? Like the sun that always shines, like the poet's endless rhyme, like the galaxies in time. If it's pleasing, then why can't it be never leaving? Like the day that never fades. Like on seashore, there are shells, like the time that always tells. It holds a key to every heart throughout the universe. It fills you up without a bite and quenches
every thirst. If it's special, then with it, why aren't we as careful? As making sure we dress in style, posing pictures with a smile, keeping danger from a child.
If It's Magic by Cassandra Wilson, that of course is a piece written by Stevie Wonder. And Cassandra is one of those jazz artists who also draws on soul music. It's the music that she grew up with, along with jazz. I asked Cassandra Wilson about working with John Legend as a featured guest on this new record, which I found interesting because he's part of a new generation of soul singers. He's also a very good pianist. Cassandra also works with India Ari, another great soul singer, on one of her previous records. So I wondered how important it was for her to make a connection with this new wave of soul singers.
It's great. It's great for me. I hope it's great for them. I think it's important for us to work together and to show that there is commonality and that there is a continuum and that there's always going to be a new generation of songwriters and musicians who build on a tradition, a sound tradition. Both of them are great musicians, real powerful.
The rhythm and blues tradition as such is so different to the R&B kind of vocabulary of today, which to my ears is very glossy, and it leans very much towards pop. Mm-hmm. I suppose hip-hop influenced pop. And if you think about the rhythm and blues tradition, which obviously gave birth to soul and Stevie and all these incredible singers, that's really, or certainly commercially, it's really taken a hit. And hip-hop and the kind of new R&B have just overtaken it completely.
I think for the reasons that you say, the glossy stuff is probably easier. Mm. It's easier for people to digest. Maybe it's more difficult to understand the forms that, because they are, like you say, very well-crafted pieces of music, you know, that's the tradition in soul music. And I don't know why, because I don't listen very much to the R&B stuff that sounds like every other piece, you know. There's no distinctive style that's coming out of it. So I listen for those artists like a John Legend or like an India Irie who are going about the business still of being singular and creating their own approaches and their own styles.
Just finish off by talking about one more track, which is St. James Infirmary, which the live version has a lot of funk in it. Became very, very funky. Not that the studio version wasn't funky, but it's different. I think the studio version was swinging a bit more. Tell me about what happened in terms of the transformation and how you got to this new version.
I think the new version gradually happened as we performed it more and more. Herlin Riley and Lacon Babalola just started to get more comfortable with one another, playing with one another. And so you hear it turn into something that's really funky. You know, it's like they lock into a certain groovaciousness, if I can create a word real quick. And Reginald is always doing these things inside. They know this song. First of all, Reginald Veal and Herlin Riley and Jonathan Baptiste, they know this song inside and out. So they introduce some other harmonic things, too, because they're so comfortable singing, playing this song. And that's why it's become another animal.
Never.
St. James Infirmary, sung by Cassandra Wilson and taken from that fascinating album Silver Pony, which is out now on the Blue Note label. And she was talking to Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre, who'll be back on Jazz Lineup in a couple of weeks' time, talking to UK band leaders Tommy Smith and Guy Barker, and they'll be discussing writing for large jazz ensemble in a conversation that took place at the London Jazz Festival. Now, writing for large jazz ensemble is something that is very close to my heart as well, so I'll be listening very closely. And indeed, this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. We are online, on FM, and on DAB Digital Radio. And you can listen to all or parts of this programme again for the next 7 days by going to the Jazz Lineup page on BBC Radio 3's website. And so to this week's concert set. This is a band that at first glance has an unusual lineup, and they are one of the most successful new jazz ensembles to emerge in Britain. They are Brass Jaw. It's a quartet of Scottish bass horn players, just four of them, yet with all the energy of a big band. Their music is a mixture of quirky arranged standards and original compositions from the band members. Brass Jaw are Ryan Quigley on trumpet, he's the newest addition to the band, Paul Towndrow on alto sax, Conrad Wisniewski on tenor sax, and Alan Beauvaison on baritone sax. And we hear Brass Jaw now in a set taken from a live broadcast at the London Jazz Festival, just on the 19th of November. You'll hear various members of the band take turns in announcing the tunes, and the set starts with the tune titled Siddhartha, which is a character taken from Indian mythology. It's written by Conrad Wisniewski, and it's a track taken from their new CD, Branded. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Conrad Wisniewski's composition called Sid Arthur. So we are Brass Joe, and we're now going to play for you Broken.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. We are Brass Jaw.
This next tune is one from our new album, Brandon, is about breaking my collarbone. It hurt. It's called The Well-Dented Clavicle.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We have been Brass Jaw. This is our last quick number. Thank you very, very much for having us. Good evening.
That was Brass Jaw playing Lennon and McCartney's Drive My Car, taken from a live broadcast to the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union, from the London Jazz Festival on the 19th of November. Continuing the theme of UK-based inspirational young bands, let's end Jazz Lineup with a new British saxophone trio. They're called Particle, and they're confident and they're energetic, and they feature Duncan Eagles on tenor saxophone and soprano, bassist Max Luthert, and Eric Ford on drums. Their new album is vibrant and in keeping with the way many young groups deal with this trio format right now. All the players are strong, creative, and set to develop together as a group. The compositions are episodic and full of variety, and this is The Steep and Thorny Way. Thank you. The Steep and Thorny Way by saxophone trio Particle. Duncan Eagles was on tenor, Max Luthert on bass, and Eric Ford was on the drums. The album, like the group, is called Particle, and it's out now on the, you guessed it, Particle label. Well, that's it for this week. I'm in festive mood now, so join me for our Christmas programme next week, featuring the BBC Big Band, conducted by Barry Forgy. I'll be performing some of my music, and BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, Shabaka Hutchings, will be performing the Benny Goodman classic, Clarinet à la King. Jazz on 3 tomorrow night. Look out for Darcy James Argue's Secret Society, New York's exciting young big band composer and leader, recorded at the 2010 London Jazz Festival. Till next week, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain, setting off with the final part of Mendelssohn's oratorio, St. Paul. You might have heard the first part around this time last night. It's a performance from Paris last year. Soprano Ruth Zizak, mezzo-soprano Christiana Stottine, tenor Paul Groves and baritone Mathias Gerner, with the French National Orchestra and Radio France Chorus, conducted by Court Mazur. And St. Paul itself, written in the 1830s, not long after Mendelssohn had rediscovered and performed Bach's St. Matthew Passion. This second part, about St. Paul's missionary travels and persecution by the Jews, who recognise him as a danger and sing a song of hate mounting from a furious whisper to a full-blown outbreak of wrath. Finally, he leaves for Jerusalem, the oratorio ending with a great affirmation in the certainty of eternal life.